Well, he's might as well be co-host of the show, Jeffrey Colin. We call you when we got employment questions. Thanks for hopping on again today.
Well, thanks for having me, John. It's my good fortune that it's been such an interesting week in the legal news.
Boy, has it ever. And thanks again. And I didn't mention this at the top of the show. Big thanks to Matt Bubala for filling in for me last week as I got to go to a wedding. You and him had a great chat, I heard. And I want to dive into a couple different stories here. Let's start with Amazon. They've been accused of violating Colorado state law by failing to pay workers for time that was spent undergoing COVID-19 screenings before clocking in at work. And at first I thought, well, how much time really is it to use the temperature gun? But it was more than that. And a lot of workers say, hey, you know, this took 20 minutes, this took 30 minutes, sometimes an hour to get us all through in line. They should have to pay us for that. Do you see that that's, I mean, at least how we see it, that they should be paid for that time?
It's an interesting question, yes. I do think that they should be paid for that time. Whether the law requires them to be paid for that time is a more complicated question. It seems like there are probably about 10,000 people in five different Colorado warehouses who are subject to these requirements and looking for compensation under the law.
Do you know what it is here in Illinois? I imagine that if it's happening there's some people out there that are like, yeah, you know, I sometimes have to wait 15, 20, 30 minutes for this thing to get done. I should be able to get paid for this.
Definitely. There's laws here in Illinois, state law, as well as the federal law, which governs payment for wages when you do work. So both of those laws would apply here and in Colorado, where the lawsuit was filed. State law is a little bit different in every state, but the federal law is the same everywhere.
I got a question for you, and I didn't prep you for this. So an I don't know or I'll get back to you is 100% acceptable, because I don't like putting anyone on the spot. But there was a recent meme that went around from a bar that was trying to recruit talent to work at the bartenders. And of course, there's a labor shortage right now, and I know there's a lot of bars and restaurants struggling. And they were wanting to put potential bartenders through an unpaid training session that was an entire shift, 6 to 8 hours long, as a training, unpaid, to see if they would get the job or not. And there was this huge generational divide arguing online. A lot of people saying, yeah, you got to prove yourself to get that job. But a lot of people were saying, unpaid, if you're going to have me work even for a training shift or an audition, you got to pay me for that. Do you know what the laws here are in Illinois in terms of training someone for the job?
I don't know that specific answer to your specific question. But look, the law is in place to make sure that when people are required to do an indispensable thing for their job, they get paid for that work so that there is no free labor. And if an argument can be made that those bartenders or folks who are being put through the shift, that training requirement is an essential part of their job, then under the law, they should get paid.
Yeah, I think that's what most people argue, too. I'll have to follow up with you there when I don't put you on the spot live on the radio. Jeff, thanks for navigating that question for us. I wanted to talk about this Tesla case. A California jury awarded a $137 million verdict against Tesla in a racial discrimination case that was brought by a black contract worker. It's a huge verdict. I don't know if that's going to be what it ends up. But, Jeffrey, these sorts of cases don't often see public eye, do they?
They don't. You're right about that, John. A lot of large employers, and in particularly employers out in San Francisco, California, use arbitration clauses to keep these types of disputes inside private arbitration rather than publicly accessible in the court system. So this case is a bit of an outlier.
$137 million is a lot of money. And you mentioned that arbitration. There was another case with Tesla where a worker complained about similar things, being called racial epithets and stuff like that. And he won $1 million in arbitration. A lot of people say that's a slap on the wrist to Tesla, but $137 million certainly is a big amount. Is that amount likely to be reduced through appeals? I know Tesla can probably gummy the works here and make this case last a lot longer.
You're right, John. I think that there's probably a good chance that that $137 million verdict gets reduced. I think the things to know about it is that, number one, $130 million was assessed as punitive damages against Tesla. that certainly says something about how egregious or reprehensible the conduct was, that the jury thought that number was sufficient to send Tesla a message about their conduct. But the second thing to know, I suppose, is that the Supreme Court has ruled that punitive damages can only be so much. Otherwise, it would be considered to be unfair punishment. And typically, punitive damages are limited to 10 times what is awarded for compensatory damages. So in this case, the plaintiff was awarded about $6.9 million. And I would think that the $130 million punitive damage award would be reduced to approximately 10 times the compensatory damages, or roughly $69 million, which is not too bad.
No, still a lot of money, of course. I just want to know your opinion. If someone out there is listening and they feel like they've been harassed because of their race, sex, orientation, whatever, at work, what sorts of steps should someone take to, you know, potentially, you know, sue their employer or at least advance a case along if they really feel like it's affected them?
What I think was so significant about this case and why the damages awarded were so significant is that the plaintiff had documented all these different events of misconduct due to race, swastikas being drawn, racial epithets in bathrooms, derogatory characters, and the employee had created a record of letting HR know what was happening, and still, apparently, nothing was done about it. So I do think that the best advice to give folks who are in that position is to keep a careful record of what you see, when you see it, and make sure that you let HR know so that it can be fixed. If it's not fixed, then it's time to see a lawyer.
Crazy story out of the NBA world. 18 former players named in an indictment about defrauding the NBA's health insurance plan. I don't know why a millionaire would want to do that. I guess greed begets greed, allegedly, I should say. Of course, they haven't had their day in court yet. Do you see healthcare scams happen in employees, the employee-employer relationship often, Jeff?
Several times, it's clear that employees get a reputation for submitting overstated claims.
Okay.
What I think makes the NBA case so remarkable was these former NBA players designed a whole scheme to trick a health benefit fund to pay claims for medical services that they could not have possibly received. In one case, or in several cases, the defendants were in locations other than where the doctors were at the time that they were getting medical treatment. I believe that the FBI found that one of the players was actually playing basketball in Taiwan when he submitted a bill for getting dental services in California. That is not common.
Yeah, I imagine so, because I think if people would, you know, if you're going to try and fool your employer out of money, at least be a little bit more careful than that. And obviously, don't do that. But I was just surprised at the breadth of this of the case and how it was caught down. In fact, some of the invoices had like terrible grammar on it and things along those lines. You'd think you'd have a proofreader if you're going to allegedly commit this crime, as the prosecutors say these NBA players did. Well, Jeffrey, as always, it's great to chat with you. If anyone has employment questions, what's the best way to reach you?
You can reach me at my website, ColinMashapinto and ColinLLP.com.
All right. Sounds good. Jeffrey, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, John. Talk to you again soon.
As always, Let's Get Legal here, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association.